your family background?
Mine?
Yes.
All right. Well, I grew up in Roxbury during the Depression, and on our street, I had a father and mother, no siblings, and I'll get to my father in a minute, but it was a neighborhood where all the kids were Jewish, and including Leonard, and we lived on Brooklyn Street, a whole bunch of us. We went to the William Lloyd Garrison School.
Oh, yes.
And then we all, the smarter ones, all went to Boston Latin School for 6 years. And the ones who weren't so smart went to Roxbury Memorial. Leonard, of course, went to Latin school. And then most of us ended up at Harvard, which was a time when Harvard took a lot of local boys because it was during the Depression. And James Bryan Conant was the new president, very liberal, and he took a lot of local boys. Now, of whom Leonard was one. Now, in the neighborhood where we lived, there was Temple Mishkan Tefillah.
Yes, we've actually visited
good,
the building.
Good. And my father was treasurer, and Leonard's father was vice president. And during the services, he would wear a black silk opera hat and was very formal and very impressive looking along with the president. And on Sunday mornings, his father would take a walk with my father in Franklin Park.
I see.
And they would talk about Leonard. And his father was very upset because he had this beautiful beauty parlor supply business that made a lot of money. And he wanted his son Leonard, when he finished college, to come in and run it.
Yes.
And his son Leonard, all he would do was sit at the damn piano, which was the way he put it, and practice all the time. He just, what was going to come of this kid with a damn piano? He'd never make a living. I don't know whether you knew that story or not.
Well, we know that his father was not very happy about him playing piano.
If you've read Joan Pizer's book, you got quite a story about that.
Oh, yes.
Know her book.
Yes.
All right. Now, at the synagogue, there was a man, Professor Breslavsky. Whether he was really a professor or not, no one ever knew. He came from Europe, but he was our organist, and he was fabulous. He was a fantastic musician, and he also composed liturgical music. And Leonard just loved him. He sat at his feet, and he imbibed a lot of what Professor Breslavsky was doing and composing, and I believe that it had a great influence on him when he wrote both Jeremiah and Kaddish.
Yes.
So, and it was not, according to Pizer's book, Cantor Glickstein who influenced him. It was mostly Breslavsky.
I see.
He was a great influence in his life. Breslavsky was a great man in the was friendly with all the children, including myself, and he had a big influence on everybody.
I see.
All right, now,
I was wondering, did Professor Breslavsky spend any one-on-one time with Leonard Bernstein? Do you know, or he?
Well, I spent a little time with him. Yes. Let me. I have a sort of series here, but let me skip. If you want to know personal relationship.
Sure.
In 1947, I had my first date with my now wife, Ray Ginsburg, and she was from Pennsylvania, and she was in Boston for the holidays, and I asked her if she'd like to go to a symphony hall concert, and she said she'd love to, and Leonard Bernstein was conducting that night.
I see.
And, of course, I knew Leonard from all our lives. And at the end of the concert, I said, would you like to meet Leonard Bernstein? She's, well, every girl in her sorority was in love with him. And sure, could she meet him? So we went back to the green room at Symphony Hall, and there was a long line. We finally got up to the front. Leonard looks at me and at Ray, and he says, "Billy, is this your wife?" And she was shocked. And, of course, 3 months later, we were engaged.
Oh, wow.
So that's a nice personal story, if you want one. Now, let me tell you one about when we were still in our teens, and we went to a birthday party at Edna Hibble's house. Do you know who she was?
No.
Edna Hibble is alive. She's still alive. She lives in Florida now. She was a painter.
I see.
And her mother ran a party. She was very famous in Boston. Now she has an art museum in Palm Beach, and she still paints. And I met her recently and told her this story, which she didn't quite remember. But at this party, Leonard Bernstein was one of the guests.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what kids do. They walked around, talked to each other, drinking sodas, because we didn't have any liquor in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard sat at the piano, and all evening he played the piano. And even when we had cake and ice cream, he was still at the piano. Never left the piano while he was in the house, which was an interesting personal story.
Mm.
Now, a little later at Harvard...
Sorry to interrupt. Do you remember what he played at the party?
What?
Do you remember what he played at the party?
No, I don't, but I don't know whether he was practicing or playing all kinds of things, but he just kept playing.
I see. Like jazz
I
or...
I can't tell you what he played.
Okay, that's all right.
I can't tell you what he played at the Pierian, though.
Oh.
At the Pierian, we had a nice little symphony,
mm-hmm.
and we played in various places like Wellesley and at Colby Junior College and Longwood Towers would give concerts, and one time we were going to give a concert at Payne Hall at Harvard. And our conductor, Malcolm Holmes, convinced Serge Koussevitzky to come to our concert.
Mm-hmm.
And Leonard was the soloist. And he played, as he played only at all the times, the Rec 2. Concerto.
Oh, yes.
He never played the three. I don't think he was up to it yet at that time. And Koussevitzky heard him. And, of course, as you know, they became very intimate, close friends through the years.
Yes.
And I have a feeling that's when he first met him.
I see.
Now, I'm not sure of that, but I have that feeling. So you may find that of note.
Oh, yes. That's very helpful to know.
Yeah. Now, all right, I'll skip. How much time do we have?
As much time as you have available. So.
Oh, okay. I have until maybe 11:10, and maybe 20, 30 minutes if
All right.
you want that much.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Now, here's an interesting story that you may or may not know about. Well, I don't know how interesting, but Boston Latin School every year had a career day for the seniors,
mm-hmm.
where they invited distinguished guests to come and speak to them about their future careers.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in around the mid-50s, I would judge, they invited three people, Father Robert Drinan, whom you may recall. He was a congressman as well as a priest, Leonard Bernstein, and William Ginsberg to speak at Career Day.
Mm-hmm.
So before we went on stage, we were in the teacher's lounge. And, you know, the Latin school boys were scared to death of their teachers, who used to throw demerits at them. And so we all feared them. And here we were all of a sudden in their lounge, and they were cottoning to us because we were the stars of the day. And particularly Leonard, they fawned all over him.
Mm.
And it was very interesting. He was already pretty well known because he was 40 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
So he had already achieved a great deal. So I thought that was an interesting thing. Now, in 1950, my wife and I made a trip around South America.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny Bernstein, Leonard's mother, told my mother that we should meet Felicia Montalegre's parents, who were in Chile, in Santiago.
I see.
And their name was Cohen, C-O-A-N. The Montalegre was her mother's maiden name.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and it's spelled, it's a very complicated name, but I won't take time to spell it. And he spelled his name C-O-A-N. He was an American who came from Ohio somewhere, a businessman, and he also lived in Santiago. So, and we didn't know anybody in Santiago, so we got there and we called the Cohens. And unfortunately, a Spanish-speaking maid answered, didn't understand a word of what we said, and couldn't take a message, but she did indicate that they weren't home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never met Felicia's parents.
Oh, I see.
Which was too bad, because we had hoped to have the time to meet with them.
Mm.
Now, let's see. Shall we go to Tanglewood?
Oh, sure.
All right. At Tanglewood, we saw him a lot because we had a home in the Berkshires, and we were there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he conducted the Berkshire Symphony, the young students who came from all around the world. You know all about that.
No, I'm actually not quite familiar with that. Could you please elaborate?
Well, every year they would seek out brilliant artists, young people who had not yet reached their peak or their fame, and invite them to the Berkshires for the summer. And they could come from the United States or other countries, and they were on full scholarship, and they formed an orchestra, which was a marvelous orchestra. I mean, they played as well as most symphonies that you would normally hear. They were great. And Leonard was one of the conductors who worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was terrific, and they just adored him. And we used to go to some of those concerts, and they were thrilling. They were almost as good as the Boston Symphony.
Wow.
And once a year, they would play a combined concert with the Boston Symphony. That was always a wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrific. But he was sensational in working with these young students. He was just terrific. Now, also, do you know about his youth children's concerts?
Yes, with the New York Philharmonic?
No, on the television.
On television, yeah, the young people's concerts?
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess they're probably within your time.
I actually missed them. I've seen videotapes of them, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I remember watching those concerts, and his ability to work with children and teach them about music was simply fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great educator.
Mm-hmm. Where?
And he would tell them the insides of the music, and he'd teach them how the notes were put together and all sorts of things. And he was really marvelous. And this appeared in a series of concerts on television. There were many of them.
Yes, on the Omnibus program? The Omnibus series?
I'm not sure which program. It was a Sunday program, I think.
I see.
As I recall it, but maybe some of your students would recall it better.
I see.
I don't know. Yeah, how many students are there, by the way?
I would say about 20 or so.
Oh, really? And they're all music students?
We have quite a variety. We have biology and anthropology and math majors as well, but predominantly it's music majors.
I see. Okay. Now, incidentally, we were at his 70th birthday party. Have you any information on that one?
No. Could you please elaborate on that one?
Yeah, sure. At Tanglewood. His birthday was in August. And at Tanglewood, they had a 70th birthday party with Seiji Ozawa conducting the symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the evening. And Leonard's mother, Jenny, was alive, and she came in and sat in a box there at Tanglewood in the shed. And then he came in a flowing black cape, opera cape. Very dramatic. He loved to be dramatic. He wore that a lot. And he came swaggering into the hall from the right side of the orchestra and over to the boxes, and he was followed by a short, blonde young man.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you know about that. And that was kind of interesting, and they had a wonderful concert extolling his 70th birthday and his career, and they played some of his music, and Seiji Ozawa was very, very gracious to him, and so on. Now, let's see if I have something else I'd like to tell you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you please tell me more? What did you mean by the short, blonde young man? And
what's that?
What did you mean by the short, blonde young man you were saying? I'm sure you know about that.
Well, he was sort of ambidextrous.
Mm-hmm.
He liked men and he liked women.
Mm-hmm.
I presumed you knew all about that.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do know about that. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that.
So we had this nice young blonde fellow following him on his birthday.
I see.
Hall. So he didn't hide it.
I see.
It was very public. And that's that. Now, let me see what else. Does your class have any questions they'd like to ask me?
Yes. Here's one question.
Hi, my name's Karina Campbell. I'm another student here. There are three of us here today. There's Catherine Chen, myself, Karina Campbell, and Stephanie Lai, who you've been talking to. I wanted to know a little bit more about yourself and what you do and, about your early life in particular.
Okay. Well, I don't do a great deal now because I'm class of 37, so you can figure out my age. But I was a manufacturer of Serta mattresses.
Uh-huh.
And I had two of the 34 factories in the United States. And I was also president of the whole thing for a period. So that was my career for many, many years until I retired.
Well, that's quite an achievement.
We lived in Newton.
Uh-huh.
And we have three children, one of whom lives in Israel and has three children, my grandchildren, who all have served in the Israel Defense Forces.
Wow.
And we had a home beginning in 1964 in the Berkshires. So we had a home in the Berkshires from 1964 until about 5 years ago. And we went to all the concerts.
Great.
So we loved them and had a great time there and met all kinds of wonderful artists. We would go to they had a tent luncheon every week, and we'd meet different players from the symphony, and they were marvelous. And Governor Dukakis had a father-in-law, Harry Ellis Dixon. I don't know if you know of him. He later was conductor of the Pops. He played in the first violin section,
okay.
And he was very prominent there. And he lived up the road from us, and he showed us the shortcuts up to symphony, which was very nice.
Do you play an instrument yourself?
What else can I tell you about us?
Oh, do you play an instrument yourself, or are you musical?
What?
Do you play an instrument?
Yes, I played. Well, I don't now, but I played the first violin.
Oh, I see.
In the Pierian Sodality. The Pierian was a pretty good orchestra, and today it's, I guess, very good.
Mm-hmm. What is now HRO, the Harvard Radcliffe Orchestra?
Yeah, the Harvard Symphony.
Yes.
The Pierian Sodality was founded in 1808, and it's the oldest continuously operating symphony in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at one time, it was down to seven flutes, but they were there. And they've existed all these years. And they fathered or mothered the Harvard Symphony. You could be a member of the symphony, but not a member of the Pierian. You had to be elected to the Pierian, the musical muse. And we were there. Now, do you have other young people who were young at the time who knew him from Harvard? did they respond to you?
Yes. So we were planning to speak to a man by the name of Meyer Gertman, who apparently grew up next door to...
What's his name, Gutman?
Gertman, G-E-R-T-M-A-N. Gert...
I didn't know him.
He lived...
Did Mr. Bunshaft answer you?
I don't think so. What? Can you tell me his...
B-U-N-S-H-A-F-T. Robert. We used to call him Bobo. He was a fine violist, and he knew Leonard pretty well. Now, whether he's alive or not, I don't know. He was class of 38 or 9.
I see. And you mentioned the painter, Edna Hibble. Do you have her contact information?
Do I have what?
Her contact information. Maybe, do you think she'd be willing to speak about Leonard?
I can't hear what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have Edna Hibble's contact information?
Oh, well, I have a Harvard directory.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Also, you could look up Frederick Gleick. G-L-I-C-K-E, who lived in Connecticut, a Dr. Frederick Gleick, who was class of 37 in the orchestra, and I recall him. And I know he's alive because he comes to reunions. Now, if you want, I'll get the directory and see what the... Of course, it's an old directory, so it may not be up to date.
I see. Well, maybe...
But do you wish it?
Yes, please. Maybe perhaps...
It's on my shelf right in front of me.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful.
All right, hold on. I'll get it.
Okay, thank you.
I think we should maybe ask if he knows anything more about the hair building.
Yeah. Did he say his specific address in Boston?
We should get it.
The relationship, because my parents didn't like maybe more about his relationship.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, here I am. I'm looking up Bunshaft. B-U-N-S. Here he is. Robert Seymour Bunshaft. He's class of 39. So that's Leonard's class.
Oh, yes.
And he, well, I'm sure he doesn't live there now. He lived on Hartman Road in Newton. I've lived in 7 places since those days, so he probably has too. So that's the most I can give you on him. And Gleick may or may not live in the same place because he was pretty well settled in Connecticut. G-L-K-L. Frederick Philip Gleick, class of 37.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you call the alumni office, they can give you up-to-date phone numbers for them. He lived at 270 Dexter Avenue in Meridian, Connecticut.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Could you actually tell us your address in Boston when you were living? You said you've lived in Roxbury?
Yes. We all lived on Brookledge Street. B-R-O-O-K-L-E-D-G-E. And Leonard lived there for some time, although he lived on a number of different streets in Roxbury.
Mm-hmm.
But like the rest of us, he went the full 6 years at Latin school.
Mm-hmm.
That was considered the right thing to do. Those who went 4 years, we didn't pay much attention to them.
Mm-hmm. Could you please elaborate on your family's relationship with Leonard Bernstein's? You mentioned that your father was the treasurer and his father was the vice president.
Yes.
Was it more of a professional relationship or was there a friendship?
Well, they were pretty close to each other, And they, as I said, they walked every Sunday in Franklin Park. They mm-hmm. took a morning walk.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew each other for years. Now, the synagogue was built there in 1924. And so they and I know that in the late 30s, they were still walking around there.
Oh, wow.
My father was treasurer 13 years, so they knew each other very well.
Mr. Ginsburg, I was wondering if maybe you could tell us your impressions of Sam Bernstein, too.
Of what?
Your impressions of Sam Bernstein. Did you ever meet him?
Well, he was a very formal man. He was a good Hebraic scholar, a Talmudic scholar.
Uh-huh.
And but he was basically a businessman. He wanted to know, did it make money? He was really very aggressive about making money. And that's what upset him about Leonard, that Leonard wasn't interested in making money, although it ended up, of course, that Leonard made far more than his father ever dreamed of.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
He was a nice man. He was very formal. And his mother was a very nice lady, very friendly. She and my mother were good friends. And I can't say much more about her.
That's fine.
She's a nice person.
Uh-huh. Did you know anything about the Sam Bernstein Hair Company?
No.
No.
But let me tell you something about Leonard's sister, Shirley.
Great.
I had a date in Chicago before I got married with a young, nice young lady, and I took her to a concert, a Chicago Symphony concert out at Ravinia. It was in the summertime.
Uh-huh.
And the conductor was Leonard Bernstein. And I remember one thing they played was the Beethoven Violin Concerto, which I loved.
Uh-huh.
And I said to her, I guess it was a habit with me, would you like to meet Leonard Bernstein? And she was all excited. So we went backstage, and there was Shirley Bernstein, the master of arms, and guarding the doors. And she was very bitchy. She would not let us in. She knew me. And I told her I would like to say hello to Leonard. And she absolutely had her arms folded akimbo. She wouldn't let us in.
Oh, no.
And I was very upset at the time. Although, if you read the Pizer book, she's very complimentary about Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
She says very nice things about her, except she devoted herself almost entirely to Leonard. She was one way with him. Mm-hmm. She spent all her time supporting whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story about Shirley. Let's see if I have anything else on my little list here.
So did you maintain contact with Leonard Bernstein after Harvard? How extensively did you?
Yes, I saw him a couple of times at Tanglewood, mm-hmm. Up at the Saranac, the home that Kusvitsky lived in.
Mm-hmm.
I went there one day with my wife to have dinner. They served dinner there. And he was teaching a class in one of the living rooms there. And he was very preoccupied. He saw me, but he was so intent on his music and the students, he wouldn't even say hello.
Oh.
But he knew who it was. But incidentally, he was a very difficult guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was very braggadocio. He was very arrogant, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't always treat people nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember him being that way as a kid as well, or is that something that came as a kid, or is that something that came later when he got famous?
As a cantor?
As a kid, as a child.
As a child?
Yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't, but he was wrapped up in his music.
Uh-huh.
In those days. He was more modest as an individual, but he spent his time and all his effort at the piano. He was a one-way man, always at the piano.
Huh.
I I didn't see much of him at Latin school. He was 2 years behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in different classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I would see him at synagogue and around the street, you know.
Uh-huh. You mentioned that Leonard had a remarkable gift for teaching, and I was wondering, do you think that that was an innate gift, that was a natural gift, or was it cultivated by his teachers when he was young, or any formative experiences during his childhood?
Well, I can't say. All I do know is that he had a marvelous personality with children. He was, unlike with some adults, he was patient, and he would teach some intimate details of the music so that you really remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him doing Peter and the Wolf for the kids,
mm-hmm.
and it was fabulous,
mm-hmm.
just fabulous, and describing the instruments and how they played and so forth, and those children certainly had to remember that because it was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking good questions.
Mr. Ginsburg, I was just wondering if you could tell me more about Bernstein's years at Harvard. What kind of clubs did he join? Any stories during the Harvard years?
No, I really can't. He was 2 years behind me. He took different courses. The only thing I can tell you about is that he spent a lot of time in his music courses with Walter Piston. And I've been trying to think of the name of another wonderful professor who wrote, maybe you guys know about it, he wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb in the style of, like, Mozart, Beethoven, Brahms, Schubert, Schumann, so forth, and made his students identify which composer was represented as he played it. Do you all, any of you remember about him?
No,
but if you do recall the name at any point, we would love to know who that is, because that's something we've encountered with other people, with Leonard himself. That's something similar to one of the things that he used to do.
I see. Well, let's see. If you, I'm trying to think whom you could contact. Maybe the faculty offices or something. He was a wonder. I took his course. He gave Music 1, and he used to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, and we had to answer the question. You know, was it Beethoven or was it Brahms or so forth? And that's how I learned to identify the music of the composers. It was wonderful. And Leonard, of course, knew him, but he was very close to Piston and one other professor whose name I can't recall.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned a great deal from them.
Great, thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. We greatly appreciate your taking the time to interview with us, Mr. Ginsburg. And
it was my pleasure, indeed.
Thank you. And if you recall anything else, please do not hesitate to contact us again. You have my email address.
I have your email number.
Yes.
I don't have any phone number, which I worried about because I wondered whether maybe you expected me to call you.
Oh,
but
no. I'm sorry.
I never had a number.
I'm sorry for the miscommunication. I'll email you my number as well, so
right.
Be able to contact each other.
You want to send it to me?
Yes, I will.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Thank you, and my best wishes to all of you students.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, you could be, at your age, you could be my great-grandchildren. In Leonard's, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
well,
thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Have
all
a wonderful
right.
day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.